I have been preaching for, well, I was licensed to preach, called to preach, 40 years ago. I was licensed to preach nearly 39 years ago. And I've been pastoring for almost 38 years. I have never in all of my ministry enjoyed preaching like I enjoy it today. I have never enjoyed this book like I enjoy it now. And I hesitate to say this for fear you'll think I'm a scholar, and I'm not. But I've never found truths in this book, and God has never handed me handfuls of purpose like He has in recent days. The book has never been as alive to me. I've never enjoyed its teachings or its truths. This week, I passed my 41,500th sermon as a preacher. I'm not sure that I've ever preached a sermon, all those 41,500 sermons, that is a truth that is more encouraging than the one I'm going to preach this morning. I'm excited about this truth. I want to encourage you. I cannot if you don't listen. I want to help you. I cannot if you don't listen. You're going to take a nap? I can't do a thing for you. Not a thing. God won't either. But if you're going to misbehave or talk, I can't help you. But I do not know of a greater truth. And it comes from one of the least likely passages. It says, we are witnesses of these things. Now, would you focus your eyes this way? And would you ask the Lord to take all the things out of your mind? You need what I'm going to say this morning. I want to speak on the subject, you can be what you always wanted to be. And if I were going to add anything to that, I'd add this, and nobody can keep you from it. You can be what you always wanted to be, and nobody can keep you from it. If I mentioned this morning the word martyr, in your mind and in mine would flash across the screen of our computer, Stephen, John Huss, Ridley, Latimer, Savonarola. And yet, a careful look at that word, martyr, tells us that in the Bible, there's a synonym for it. Actually, it's the word maturos, and it's translated in Acts 5:32. And we are witnesses. Are you listening? We are witnesses of these things. We are martyrs of these things. When we speak of those who were burned at the stake, let us remember that the fires did not make them martyrs. They were martyrs before the fire was ever lit, or they would not have submitted to the fire. Now, don't miss this. But John Huss gave his life for the gospel. He did not become a martyr. For the word martyr is the word witness. We are witnesses, or martyros, or martyrs of these things. The fires did not make Huss a martyr. The fires revealed that John Huss was a martyr. When you think of Savonarola, and is giving his life and dying for the gospel's sake. The fires did not make John Huss a martyr, or Savonarola, or Ridley, or Latimer, nor did the stones outside the gate of Jerusalem make Stephen a martyr. The stones revealed that Stephen was a martyr. Who then is a martyr? A martyr is one who will witness until he dies. Now, if he will witness until he dies, he's a martyr before he dies. He does not have to die to be a martyr, but he would die if necessary. A martyr says, I believe this book, I believe it, the crown of my head, the sole of my feet, with all of my heart, my mind, my body, my soul, and I'll preach it. I'll preach it if I live. I'll preach it if I'm persecuted. I'll preach it if I die. That's a martyr. He may not die, or he may die. He's a martyr either way. This room is filled with martyrs this morning. I do not know who you are, and I doubt if you know who you are. But there are people all in this room this morning. I'm convinced if they came today and held the sword to our throats, I'm convinced there are people all over this room who would say, I'll die before I recant. I'll die before I quit soul winning. I'll die before I quit witnessing. You're martyrs. Now, so you can be a martyr. Did you hear me? I said, you can be a martyr. If you would die, it's within your reach. And God knows this morning, I hope I'm one of them. I guess there's no way to know. I could say I'd die for Christ. I think I would. I think if you said to me, you quit preaching or die, I think I'd die. I don't know. I've never faced it. But I want to be a martyr. Now, hear me carefully. Here's the message. That means you may never get to do what you want to do, but you can be what you always wanted to be. Did you hear me? Now don't leave me now. Hear me carefully. If being a martyr is a state or a position rather than a deed or an act, then you can be a martyr. But that isn't all. You can be anything you ever wanted to be. Now, don't miss this. Anything you ever wanted to be, you can be. Now, you will not be able, perhaps, to do everything you ever wanted to do. Many a great preacher never preached to a great crowd, but he could have. So anybody can be a great preacher. You see, if you don't have to die to be a martyr, but if it's what you are and not what you do, then you don't have to do something to be a great preacher. You have to be something to be a great preacher. Many a great general never fought a battle. Now, Eisenhower was a great general. He proved it in battle, but he wasn't a great general because he fought the battle. He was a great general before he ever fought a battle. MacArthur, I think the greatest general of our generation, but MacArthur was a great general. But he wasn't a great general because of his battles in World War II. He was a great general before World War II ever started. And World War II revealed his greatness as a general. And that means Mr. MacArthur could be a great general and never fight a battle. Did you know many a great president of the United States never lived in the White House. I said many a great president of the United States never lived in the White House. What do you say? I think the greatest president of this generation was General Douglas MacArthur. You say, wait a minute. He never was elected president, but he was a president. You see,
He was president. He was presidential material. He had what it took. And though people kept him, probably Mr. Truman kept him from being in the White House, he never kept him from being a great president. You get what I'm saying this morning? I mean, somebody may stop you from doing what you want to do, but nobody can stop you from being what you want to be. Now, when you become what you ought to become, and you be what you ought to be, you may never get to use that in the opportunities in which you'd like to use it, but blessed be God, somebody may keep you from being president, but you can still be what you ought to be. And brother, I'm more concerned about being what I ought to be than doing what I ought to do. For if I am what I ought to be, when the crisis comes, I'll do what I ought to do. Now, many a great dad, hear me now, many a great dad never had a son. You say, what are you talking about? I don't know. But it's good preaching. I said, many a great dad never had a son. Well, you say, how can you be a dad if you don't have a son? That's easy. You prepare yourself to be a dad. And you be what a great dad. Now, listen, circumstances in life may keep you from ever holding the position or the title of being a dad. But you can be a great dad, and nobody can keep you from being a great dad. Now, I'm going to say something this morning. It's going to shock you. One of the greatest dads in this room is sitting right at the end of that aisle back there. His name is Randy Erickson. Randy Erickson has never fathered a child. Nobody calls Randy Erickson daddy. But there's not a dad in this room, a better dad than Randy Erickson is. Because he has become a great dad. Now, it may be that he never would have the opportunity of having, of doing as a father would do to a child, but that doesn't matter. Bless God, I love this. Nobody can keep me from being what I always wanted to be. But see, you see, we're too wrapped up in doing. We want to do this or do that. But look, circumstances can prevent that. And obstacles can prevent that. And yes, even sometimes enemies. But no enemy and no obstacle and no circumstance and no human being in this world can keep you from being what you always wanted to be. Many a great wife has never had a husband. You say, you cracking up? No, you already cracked up. I'm fine. Whole world is wrong. I'm okay. No, I'm not cracking up. I said, many a great wife never had a husband. One of the greatest wives in this room is making signs back there for the deaf people. If God had seen fit for Maxine Jeffries to hold the title of wife, she wouldn't have to change a thing. Or a little bit of stubbornness. But not a thing. Now, Maxine Jeffries is not called Mrs. She ain't even called Ms. She's not even called Miss. She's called Max, affectionately. But she's never had a husband. Listen, that may be the happiest folks here. Did you hear me? You can be a wife and not have to have a husband. This is a new theology. It could change the whole country, folks. This is a great day in the life of mankind. Look, listen to me. Circumstances have prevented Maxine Jeffries from holding the title of a wife. But all hell can't keep Maxine Jeffries from being. Many a great mother never gave birth to a child. Janet Snyder in the choir. One of the best mothers in this church. Now, circumstances prevented her from having to change diapers, get up at night and lose sleep. But I mean, there's not a finer mother.
Not a woman in the world possesses the qualities of motherhood more than Janice Snyder.
She's never labored in travail. No child has ever called her mommy. You see, God in His wisdom did not let her do what she wanted to do, but all of hell could not keep her from being what she wanted to be.
And that means, brother, the sky's the limit if you're not interested in praise. If you're just interested in what you are, then be what you want to be. If you want to be a great general, just get as courageous as one. If you want to be a great president, just get as wise as one. Come to think of it, you don't have to get very wise. If you want to be a great leader, just train like one. If you want to be a great intellect, just study like one. If you want to be a great success, just work like one. And nobody may ever crown you the crown, but you can still be a king. And nobody may ever put you on a throne, but you can still be a queen. And nobody may ever put you in the head of an army, but you can still be a general. And nobody may ever call you mama, but you can still be a mother. And you may never have a husband, but you can still be a wife. And you may never have a child, but you can still be a dad. I don't care what you want to be. If you want to be it, you can be it. Many a person is a martyr who never died. Many a martyr never felt the cold blade of the knife of the enemy. Many a martyr never felt the crackling flames of the fire. Many a martyr never felt the rope to the chain that tied him to the stake. Many a martyr never saw their blood leaving their body. Many a martyr never felt a stone beating against his brow. Many a martyr, many a person has become the kind of Christian who said and who meant it, I'll become the kind of Christian, I'd die for my Lord. I'd give my life. If I had to go to the stake, I would. If I had to go to the fires, I would. If I had to be stoned to death, I would. If I had to be crucified, I would. Listen, Jesus, hear me now, Jesus was the Lamb slain. When? Before the foundation of the world. Now, He became the slain lamb at Calvary. But He was the slain lamb before the foundation of the world. And Calvary did not make Him our Savior. Calvary revealed He was our Savior. And these men who martyred, who gave their lives for the gospel's sake, they were martyrs way back under. And had they never given their lives, they were martyrs anyway. The world is full of Susanna Wesleys. The world is full of godly mothers whose boy will never found a great movement or preach a great sermon or lead great crowds or lead great movements. The world is full of them. My mother gets a lot of praise because it so happens she's the preacher's mother. But there are mothers all over this room this morning who are just as great as far as God's concerned as my mother. Now, they're not as great as far as I'm concerned. As far as God's concerned. You may not cradle a John Wesley, but if you had a John Wesley, you'd cradle him. And you'd train what you have as much as if his name were John Wesley. I'm saying it's time we forgot about crowns. It's time we forgot about honors. It's time we forgot about praise. It's time we forgot about what we get to do and decided to be what we ought to be. This world is full of Lee Robertsons who nobody knows. This world is full of Charles Spurgeons whom nobody has heard. This world is full of Billy Sundays who've not preached any revival campaigns and Ridleys who've not died at the stake. You can be a martyr if you would. You can be a hero if you would. You can be a great preacher if you would. 24 years ago today, this church was at the crossroads. There's been something going on in this service, sweet and precious all morning long. One of the things in my mind, besides the death or the homegoing of Brother Colston's mother, and many people in this room whom I know have burdens, I want to say this. If somebody has mistreated you or somebody has wronged you, or somebody has been to you what tried to hurt you, they may keep you from ever doing what you want to do or holding the title you want to hold, but I'll guarantee you, not your brother, not your sister, not your enemy, not your friend, not your husband, not your wife, not your mother, not your father, not your adversary, nobody can keep you from being what you want to be. Nobody.
You can't blame him. Now, you can blame somebody for not letting you do what you want to do, but you can't blame anybody but yourself if you don't become what you want to become. You can be what you always wanted to be. But you say, preacher, I'm 70 years old. I couldn't be a mother. Yes, you could. You couldn't give birth to a child, but you could have a mother's heart. 24 years ago today, a young 33-year-old Texas preacher, homesick, afraid, lonely, in some ways a misfit, had been pastor of this church for almost 11 months. And the battles became heated. And some people, and some were good people, and you've never heard me one time in all these 24 years criticize those who are my adversaries. But some good people couldn't understand me, and I couldn't understand them. And a petition was passed over this church. I'd only been here about 10 and a half months for my resignation. And 24 years ago today, as best I can remember and recall, we had our vote. And all over this room this morning, there are people who stood beside the preacher. You didn't know me. But the truth, in those days, most of you couldn't understand anything I said. And God knows I couldn't understand anything you said. I remember that first week we were here, I stopped at the restaurant, ordered a hamburger. It was a drive-in place, and I said, cut the onions. Well, cut the onions in Texas means I don't want no onions. Up here it means cut the onions. You folks have the stupidest way of interpreting language. I drove up and I said, I want a hamburger. Cut the onions. They bought the hamburger back. Onions were cut in little pieces about the size of rice. And I said, ma'am, I said, cut the onions. She said, I'm cutting best we could. You didn't understand me. But look, you didn't stand for me because of what I was. You stood for me because of what you were. And your standing beside your preacher did not reveal my loyalty, but your loyalty. You said, we brought him here. We called him here. He's our preacher. He has a right to prove himself, and I'm for him. Every time this church assembles and the great crowds come here, it's because of a handful of people whom God has still spared and let live long enough to see these 25 years. I say you're martyrs. You may never die at the stake, but you would. You may never feel the cold blade of a knife at your throat, but you would. Just pick out what you want to be. You want to be one who stands for Christ until the fires of death escort you home? Then you can be. You may not feel the fires, but you can be one who would. You want to be one who preaches until you rot in jail? You want to be a John Bunyan? You could. You say, preacher, I may never go to jail. You don't have to go to jail to be a John Bunyan. If you would go to jail, you'd be a John Bunyan. You want to be a John Rice, a Bob Jones, a George Washington, any boy can. You want to be a Deborah, a Susanna Wesley, a Mrs. John Rice, an Elizabeth, a Florence Nightingale, any girl can. I love this truth. I guess more than anybody in this room this morning, I have a right to praise God for this truth. You see, I don't know if there's a busier man in the world than I. I mean that. I mean, I oversee a college, two high schools, a grade school, a junior high school. Thousands and thousands of people. And I've got so many requests for appointments on my desk right now. I do not know where in the world I'm going to find time to see everybody that has to see me. At this very moment, every waking moment I've got except a few hours of sleep a night and a minimum hour of sleep a night is tied up all the way through August the 9th, and I've probably got 150 people right now have got to see me, and I don't know what to do. I'm simply saying all the responsibilities and all the load, not only that, I've got preachers across this nation that call me pastor. Everywhere I go, they flock around me saying, I've got to see you. I've got to talk to you. I've got to have your advice. What am I saying? I'm not complaining. I'm saying this. I'm saying that
I can't be. I can't do all I want to do. I'm really not a good anything when it comes to doing. I guess most everybody I know is a little bit upset with me because I can't do for them what they wish I could. I've got a mother whom I love like you love your mother. She's 96. And she's been ill and part of the time seriously ill. She's here this morning. But I know that I know how old 96 is. And I know how many more years that is than 70. I know that. I can't go to her bedside, sit like you do your mother, and be to you and America what I need to be. I can't do that. Now, I'll get criticized for this because, and I understand it, no way in the world, not a human being in the world, with the possible exception of Dr. Lee Robertson, would ever understand what I'm talking about. I can't do for my mother what she wants me to do for her. I envy my sister. I cannot be with her like I want to be. Maybe 30 minutes twice a week. And I don't know how many more twice a weeks are left. Circumstances in life do not allow me to do all I want to do. But I say this, and I probably sound like I'm boasting. I'm a good son. I really am. I don't do what I ought to do. Because I can't do what I ought to do and do what you need me to do. And what America, I think, needs me to do. So circumstances have kept me from performing what I want to perform. Nobody can keep me from being what I want to be. My heart hurts this morning for people that need me in this room. There are 15 families that have written me notes in the last 2 days and said, "Preacher, it's an emergency. We must see you." Now, the truth is, I'll see everybody I can. God knows I will. And I don't play. I don't take days off. I don't take vacation. I'm not complaining. I'm telling you the truth about this great truth this morning. I can't visit you like a pastor of a small church can. Circumstances have prevented that. I want to tell you something. I am a good pastor. You can't tell it. I'd love to be with this man tomorrow afternoon. I love him enough to, but I can't. Because I got 2,000 people need to hear me tomorrow night. I cannot do what I want to do. But I'll guarantee you, I'm his good friend. So it may be that you'll never be in the White House, live in the White House. But if you want to be the President of the United States, have at it. Jump in. You may never marshal an army. You may never be a general or do what a general's supposed to do. But in case you'd like to be a Douglas MacArthur, have at it. You can be what he was. You may never feel the pains of labor and hear the sweet little cry of "I love you, Mommy." But in case you would like to be a mother, you can be. And you may never have any little child call you Daddy or pull at your pants legs and say, "I love you, Daddy." You may never feel the warmth of a little pink hand around your finger, or the touch of two cute little lips against your cheek. that you can be a father. If we'd get less concerned about what we're called and what we want to do, and get more concerned about what we ought to be. I'll say this in close. You just become what you ought to become. And I got some good news for you. I just called up heaven this morning, and God told me He knows your address. He knows your phone number. Many years ago, I went to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to preach. I went to a church called Brother Parr was a pastor there. Ben Salem Baptist Church. Dr. John Rice and I were there together. Dr. Rice and I went back to the room that night, and I started walking in, and I said, Dr. Rice, that's a great pastor there, great preacher. Name was Parr, first name. Dan Parr. I said, Dan Parr is a great preacher. Dr. Rice said, Dr. Howe, the auditorium doesn't hold but 700 people. I said, he's a great preacher. Dr. Rice said, well, I said, Dr. Rice, he's one of the greats. We went there next year. Same size crowd, same auditorium, no building, no bigger building. And I said, Dr. Rice, that's a great preacher. He's one of the greats. And then I went there one year, and Dan said, Brother Howe, I want to talk to you. He said, you're my pastor. He said, I went down to have my teeth checked. My dentist saw something down there, sent me to a doctor, and I've got cancer. Cancer in the mouth and the throat. I watched him over the period of years wilt away. And I wondered why God never let him preach to great crowds. I knew he was a great preacher. And then when he got in the hospital, he was dying. Oxygen hooked to his nose, 105 degree temperature. And I had him scheduled to speak in pastor school. Dan Parr gets up out of the hospital bed with a doctor fighting him, almost. Goes to the airport with the oxygen tubes in his nose with 105 degree temperature, catches an airplane, comes to Indiana, preaches to the nation here at our nationwide pastor's school. And they heard him. And in the last few days of his life, he preached to thousands of people. You know why? He was a great preacher. Now, he would have been a great preacher if he never preached at pastor's school, but he was ready and he was concerned in being what he ought to be. And God said, I know where you are, I know who you are, and I know what you are, and you're ready. Now I've got just a few places I want you to close out in the blaze of glory. Did your wife leave you? Did your husband leave you? Your enemies forsake you? Folks slander you? Ruin your reputation? I don't care what they did. And it can't keep you from being what you ought to be. They can keep you from doing maybe what you ought to want to do. But you can be what you always wanted.